But if I'm not getting specific about the kind of culture that I'm wanting to create, then again, through just pure happenstance and accident, you start to see this veering from where ultimately you want to go or where you want to be. And so for you as a leader, you got to get specific.
Well, hey, welcome to this episode of the Pastor's Roundtable. I am your host, Ryan Latham, and I'm super excited to share a portion of one of our coaching calls. You see, every month we hold coaching calls for youth pastors where we have guest speakers. We have a time for those in the group to talk about ministry issues, and we help and support each other through that. And then we break up into two groups where we encourage each other and do life together. And today I'm going to share with you a portion of that teaching element. One of the things that's different about if you're in the group is that you get to ask our speakers live questions about the topic that we've been talking about to personalize it to your ministry context. It's a game changer. It's much different than just listening to a teaching on a podcast like today. So I'd encourage you to get more information. You can go to renewedleadership.org/network to get more information or to join. So today, get ready. Let's listen to a month's teaching from our coaching group.
All right, guys, I want to introduce to you Elijah. Man, this guy has been serving youth ministry for over 15 years. Now, check this out. Be inspired, because he was called into ministry at the age of 14 and has been serving the Lord and pursuing that passion ever since. So youth pastors, come on, somebody is going to be called to ministry. So him and his wife are next gen pastors at Grace Church in Houston and are doing great. Now, one thing that I love about watching him on his social media is his passion for obstacle race courses. So I think it's Spartan. Am I right? And Spartan is your kind of your choice.
Yeah,
so,
that's correct.
Man. Guys, listen up. We're going to dive into building culture. So such an important topic and one that you really can never keep your fingers off the pulse of culture. So I think you're always building culture. So let's dive in. Elijah's man, it's all yours. We're ready to take some notes. Go away. It's all yours, man.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me be here with you guys. My hope is that I'm making some new friends today. Before we get started, if you'll just hold up on the camera how many years you've been in youth ministry. If you can just hold up with hands. Okay, we got 3, 3, 1. Come on, Tori. 1, I love that. Garrett, you got 10. Andy, is that 20? Is that 20 years, Andy? Bro, you got me beat. I'm on year 17. Aaron, how many years are you in? 12? 12 years? Okay, very cool. And then Ryan, how many years you got on? 20? Yeah. Oh my gosh, we got some veterans in here. That's amazing. Well, I love the way that you said it, Ryan. Culture, creating culture is something you can never take your foot off the gas with. And so whether you're 20 years in or like Tori, you're 1 year in, I think there is value when it comes to this, you know, specific area of the ministry that you're leading. And I'll say this, no matter what you're pursuing or what you're given charge and leadership of in life, you are constantly creating culture anytime you're at the helm. In fact, I'd say it this way, culture is being created two ways, either accidentally or on purpose. And so I would ask you the question today, with the ministry that you've been given charge of, the youth ministry specifically, how are you doing at creating that culture? How are you doing at even focusing on creating culture? I think that a lot of times, you know, we pursue, you know, new programming, different organizational systems, adopting new leadership models, and we kind of just Frankenstein this thing until we arrive at a place where we go, yeah, that looks pretty good. Instead of thinking backwards and going, what is it that that really is in our heart to do, and then creating the culture that will uphold that. And about 5, maybe 7 years ago, I had a friend of mine, and he was talking about culture within their youth ministry, and it became a really convicting thought for me. And this was something that you would have thought that I would have picked up earlier in youth ministry, but this was right around year 12 for me. And he began talking about the culture he was creating within their youth ministry. And all of the vernacular, all of the words that he was using went back actually to the heart and the vision of the church. And so what I want to talk about is creating culture, yes, but more specifically, the culture that comes from the heart, the mission of your church. In fact, let me ask you a couple of questions. When it comes to the vision, the culture of your youth ministry, how closely does it align with the heart, the mission, the vision of your church? Is the culture of your youth ministry something that you have siloed or maybe kind of partitioned that is separate or divisive of the house? Or is it something that aligns right alongside there with the church? I think the strongest youth ministry culture is when you find an expression of what the culture is of the house that you serve in. To make it more biblically, when you said yes to becoming the youth pastor of your church, you said yes to serving under the spiritual leadership of the senior pastor, which means by just affect that his heart, his mission, the culture that he's setting for the church, that we as youth pastors should come right alongside that, right underneath that, and find an expression within the youth department of what the church's heart is, their mission is. And that's the culture that I want to focus on building. So while the church's expression may look different than mine, I got to make sure that our heart, our mission aligns right alongside that of the church. And like I said, when I got this about 5, 7 years ago, to me, it was such a light bulb because I was over here trying to build my own thing. And what I know now is, one, that's not even smart. Two, I can build so much relational equity and favor with the senior pastor when I come alongside that. But three, it's just biblically correct, right? So it's not about what is the culture, what is my culture that I'm building for the ministry that I lead, but rather what is the expression of the department that I've been given charge of, the ministry that I've been given charge of? What's the expression for the youth ministry with the church's heart, mission? I mean, you can phrase it a lot of different ways, but the culture of the youth ministry that you and I are building should align with the heart of the church. So I'll ask it to you that way. The culture that you're building within the youth ministry that you're leading, how closely does it align with the heart of the church? Now, this isn't to throw stones or cast judgment or like I was literally doing it wrong for those 10, 12 years. And I had to have a little bit of a come to Jesus with myself and just go, Lord, correct this in me. And it forced me to tear some things down that, frankly, were good and to realign with the church's heart and make it more that way. So, for instance, here at Grace, our mission is to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So if I'm doing anything that is counter to that, I've got to come right back to the center. And what that does for me is it gives me a bullseye, gives me a target to aim at, gives me a focal point so that when new leaders come on or as I hire more staff or I see kind of the new shiny thing in youth ministry, if it doesn't align with leading people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, then I got to go, you know what? That's great for another house, but here in this youth ministry, we're going to find the expression of what it means to lead people, and specifically for us, lead students in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll ask you another question. If your pastor were to walk into one of your services, maybe a camp that you're doing, some outside event, if your pastor were to walk into that, would he go, yeah, this youth ministry is an expression of what the church's heart, like the culture of this youth ministry is an expression of what the heart of our church is. Your leaders, would they describe it that way? Some of your leaders have been with you from the get. You know, some leaders are maybe newer to the youth ministry. What would they say the culture of your youth ministry is? Would they use words or vernacular or ideas that actually connect to the whole of the church? Or would it be, again, some Frankenstein partitioned idea of maybe something that you feel like you're creating? Now, I would say just statistically by the leaders that are on this call, there may be a couple of us that, even as I'm saying this, feel a little maybe like toes stepped on, like, no, God's put this thing in me, and I got to go create the thing that he put in me. And I think that a lot of times God gives us dreams, right? But those dreams should always align with the people, the house specifically, or the leadership that we're serving under. God very seldomly calls us to a place not to serve under the leadership that we're a part of, right? Even David served under Saul, right? And came under the leadership at that point. And so I think that a lot of times the strongest culture in our youth ministries that we could be tapping into doesn't come from our own heart or our own brain, right? It comes from an expression that's already established in the house and how that makes its way into our youth ministries. And we should always, as youth pastors, as leaders of these ministries, we should fight to align with the vision of the house. And so a couple of ways that you can do this, that we do this, and you can just write these down. The first thing is, I would say, be specific. So as you're fighting to create culture within your youth ministry, you got to be absolutely specific. Think about every strong brand that you know: Apple, Nike, Starbucks, McDonald's, Airbnb. Every strong brand is very specific about even the culture of their brand, right? The images they use, the words that they speak, what they're giving their time, their attention, their resource to. So in the culture that you are wanting to create or wanting to set in your youth ministry, you've got to be so specific to said culture that's needing to be created. Because if you're not, as we said in the beginning, culture is being created, whether accidentally or purposefully. When you're not being specific, you're creating a culture, and through accident, something's being formed, something's being shaped. But when I get specific about it, we're going to do this, we're going to talk like that, these are the words that we're going to use, here's what I'm going to spend my money on, here's how I'm going to develop our leaders, here's what we are going to do, and here's what we're not going to do. And in fact, I think that sometimes the specificity, being able to say no to all of this stuff, gives a stronger yes to the culture that I'm wanting to build. So in your own youth ministries, within the church and the house that you serve in, and finding the expression within the youth ministry, you got to be really specific, which requires a lot of headwork. Some of us on this call, maybe we're bent towards strategy, right? Like, you're a strategist, you see the pieces, and you've got a system and an Excel spreadsheet for everything that you do, right? Some of you are geared that way. Others are more just like, shoot from the hip. We're just going to go, we're just going to try this. But what I found is that there's room for both. But if I'm not getting specific about the kind of culture that I'm wanting to create, then again, through just pure happenstance and accident, you start to see this veering from where ultimately you want to go or where you want to be. And so for you as a leader, you got to get specific when it comes to planning out your calendar. Here are the events, right? When it comes to your services, here are the things that we want to implement and do. When it comes to the teaching and the training of your leaders and your volunteers, here's how we're going to do it. When it even comes to the student leadership side of things, like, here's what we're going to put our money in and what we believe in. You got to get really, really specific about creating that culture. The next thing that you got to do is you got to be strategic, right? One of our exec pastors says this all the time, but he says, everybody ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. So if you're not naturally bent towards strategy, have some people around you. If you're a big picture, a visionary leader, great, be that, but then have some people that can come around you and go, here's some ideas of how we could get there. Now, some practicals of what I use, strategically, is once we develop the goal, right? The place that we want to be, what we believe that we're aiming for. Some practical things that we put in place. We do a 30, 60, 90 day goal, right? So the whole team comes around and we line out. Here's what we're going to accomplish in the next 30 days. Here's what we're going to accomplish in the next 60. And here's what we're going to do in the 90. So I've always got, yes, here's what I want to accomplish in 2022. But when I start to get strategic, I have to start to boil it down or distill it down to bite-size attainable things. What can I accomplish this week? What can we accomplish this month? What can we accomplish in this semester, right? And your team needs to see that. Some of you, you might have a staff that you lead through. Others of you might have volunteers, you know, that you're facilitating ministry through. The fewer staff members that you have, the more strategic I believe that you got to get, because what you're dealing with are people that have 9-to-5s and they've got families and they've got extracurriculars and they, right? So when I start to get strategic and I show them, here's how we're moving the pieces, it allows people to come on board to this big visionary culture, you know, redirect, right? When I start to hand them strategic pieces, it's like a battlefield, right? When I move the bishop knows how to move. When I move the pawn knows how it's going to move. And so for you as the leader, getting strategic about creating that culture allows all the pieces on the board, no matter the player, to move to accomplish the goal, right? And I think that all of us would say we want to create a strong culture. I think that all of us would say we want to create an infectious culture. All of us want to create a culture that people want to be a part of. It's going to require strategy. You know, Nike is no dummy when they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on their marketing campaigns, right? It was strategic when, what was the player from the 49ers? He had the fro, took a knee, and they adopted him as like their banner boy for a bit. His name escapes me, but
Kaepernick.
You know, Kaepernick. Thank you, Ryan. Nike was strategic. They knew what they were doing when they made Kaepernick a face of something, you know, that they were doing ad campaign wise. And I think that we got to be doing the same thing. You know, we got to be strategic, which requires work ahead of time, right? Before the thing comes. The other thing that strategy allows you to do is when I've got a clear path moving forward, this culture, it also allows me to respond, not just before, but also in the moment, right? So sometimes things will take place in your youth ministry, in your church. And when I'm driving culture, so think about it this way. When I'm driving culture and I come back from camp and every student is spiritually charged, and I know that the culture that I'm wanting to create within the youth ministry is, let me just pull some examples, right? If the culture of your house is we raise up leaders and worshipers, I'm just making something up, then I know coming off of camp, I got a bunch of spiritually charged students. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a 9-week discipleship class, right? That then takes all of these spiritually charged students, and I'm going to heavily disciple them. I'm going to teach them and train them. I'm going to grow up some new leaders, right? The other thing that I'm going to do is, because they're spiritually charged, our worship has been a bit anemic in our services, but now everybody's spiritually charged. So to create a culture of worship, I'm actually going to maybe do some extended worship moments in my services, or I'm going to create some one-off worship experiences. And so when I'm strategic, it allows me not just to respond before, but even in the moment, right? I'm always thinking, I'm always angling, I'm always going, how does this get leveraged for the culture that I want to build? Even in tragedy, even in moments of tragedy, like it was senior pastor from Saddleback. I'm terrible with names. Somebody help me. Saddleback Church. Ryan, you're 2 for 2, bro. He came in and he did something when our city rolled through Hurricane Harvey. He pulled like 100 pastors together and he gave us this talk about never wasting tragedy. And it stuck with me over the years that even the hard stuff, even the even the circumstances that you feel like are of the devil, right? The things that have come to destroy you. When you're focused on creating a culture and you're bent on the strategy, even the tragedies, when you get strategic, you can use to build within the youth ministry a specific culture, right? When you rally students around somebody who's hurting, a tragedy that's going on in your city, something that's happening nationwide, when I've got a strategy and a specific culture, I can use anything and everything. But it takes some strategy. It takes some thought. And again, if you're not naturally bent towards strategy, have two or three or four people that really get the heart of what you're doing come around you that can speak into things. And sometimes strategy doesn't come just one great idea after another. We've got a Instagram thread with our youth staff. And anything that's inspirational for where we're going, every video, every sermon clip, every stupid game, every influencer, outlandish, like everything just goes into this thread. And so what we're doing is we're constantly ideating for strategy. So I would even say if that's not a part of what you're doing behind the scenes, ideate so that you can be strategic. Strategy comes from ideas. It doesn't just come from the main person going, here's what we're going to do, and you do this and you do that. Get really comfortable playing with ideas. At some point we like left the sandbox and we left the elementary school desk with the Play-Doh. Like at some point in leadership, like we left that and it became about really militant, calculated movements forward. And I think that some of the best strategy comes when we just get back in the sandbox as leaders, and we just ideate and we play with some things so that when we come out the other side of it, we've got strong, new, creative strategies of how we're creating culture. Don't let your strategy be a regurgitation of some other ministry's idea. Like there is a reason that you're leading where you're leading. There's something unique that God's put in you to lead the students that you're leading. Use that. Lean into that. Let this strategy, again, what we talked about was there will be a different expression of the heart of your church through your youth ministry. So this is where you get to really get your hands in the mix, right? So figure out when it comes to strategy, how you're ideating, the voices that you're bringing around you, but be really strategic. So I talked about the 30, 60, 90 days. The other thing that we implement is evaluation and implementation. So everything that we do gets evaluated. And who gets to evaluate it is kind of a tighter knit circle. But for instance, every Wednesday night service, we run a midweek service. After every Wednesday night service, the staff comes together with our practicum, our college practicum students, and our interns. So call it 15 of us are in a room after every Wednesday and Sunday service. And we go share a win. We want everybody to articulate something that they saw God doing or something that the ministry excelled at. And then everybody comes with an improvement, an area where we can evaluate and then implement. So for you, when you're creating culture, you got to constantly be evaluating and implementing, evaluating and implementing. Think of it like a flight that takes off from Dallas and it's going to Orlando, right? Every pilot, when they get in the cockpit, they know that there are coordinates that they set and they go, but they're having to constantly readjust the whole way. In fact, we just had a guest speaker here this past Sunday, and he said that he asked the pilots that were flying them how often it was that the flight was directly on course to its destination. And the pilot said that 99% of the time, the plane was not precisely correct towards its destination, that they were always having to dial in and recorrect. And I think that that's where that evaluation and implementation comes. When you're creating culture in your ministries, it tends to kind of veer left and right, which is why you got to be specific and why you got to be strategic. When it starts to go left and it starts to go right, you go, no, we got to come back this way. yes, this was fun and yes, this was shiny, but it's not where we're headed. Yes, that sounds like a good idea. And yes, we might see some results from that, but come back this way. We got to keep heading towards, our destination. And so that evaluation and implementation is a mechanism for accountability, really. Because now everybody on the team is responsible to look at the thing and go, are we heading where we're supposed to be heading? If you are a sole pilot, if you've got no co-pilot, if you've got no co-pilots, then unfortunately, even as the leader, we don't always have maybe best intent in mind. I mean, nobody's going to wear it like we wear it. Nobody's going to see it like we see it. But our job should be as many people as we can to see it like we do, help us prop it up, right, and move it forward. But if you're the only person that knows where you're going, that's pretty dangerous. You got to get some people around you that see it, that feel it, like it's in them. Other people that would die for what you're doing as well. Don't be the sole proprietor of the culture of your youth ministry. Grab some brand ambassadors. I mean, people do this like crazy, right? People that just they talk the brand. They wear the brand. They're excited about the brand. Do that for the culture of your youth ministry. Find some other adult leaders, definitely your staff members. Find some student leaders as well that just, they go, this right here, this is what it's about. This is what we're doing. This is where we're headed. And I promise you, it will take life and shape a whole lot quicker than if it's you and you alone beating the drum. I heard a leadership talk not too long ago about the power of the first follower. And you guys may have seen this video on YouTube, but it's this guy and he's kind of just in a public place. And it's a bunch of people that have like blankets and like grabbing lunch. It's kind of like a public park almost. And there's this one skinny guy and he just starts dancing. There's no music. He just starts dancing and he's dancing by himself for like a minute. And everybody's just kind of looking at him. And it's weird almost, like, is he on something, right? But then there comes this second person and he starts dancing. And after the second guy comes, we see a third and then we see like a fourth, fifth, sixth. And then we see, you know, 15, 20. And by the time this video is done, I mean, you got like 50 people dancing. And while the leader had to start something, really the power came in the first follower, the second person who actually jumped on board to what was happening. And for some of you, the biggest thing that you may take away from this talk here and now in setting culture is finding who the first follower is. You're out there dancing by yourself and everybody's kind of looking at you like, what are you trying to do right now? What you got to go and do is find the first follower, somebody who will just unashamedly dance right beside you as crazy as you're dancing. And then you'll start to see, you know, the other students, the other leaders, other pastors, the church as a whole, right, start to dance. And so that comes through that. I know I'm getting kind of conceptual and then practical, but a lot of that comes through that evaluation, implementation, and bringing people alongside to be a part of it. So you got to be specific, be strategic. And then number three, be relentless. Be relentless. Bill Hybels says it this way. He says, vision leaks. I would say it this way. Culture strays, right? They say that every 21 days, you have to recast vision. Fortune 500 CEOs, they know this, that every 21 days, you got to be recasting vision because vision leaks. People should know your culture so well that they're just tired of hearing it. And when they get tired of hearing it, then they're finally starting to initially get it, right? So the language that you use it all the time. Use the same language over and over. Preach it, say it, teach it, post it, like everything. Just breathe it constantly. Be relentless with the culture that you're wanting to create because anything counter to that, right? It's culture is either being created on accident or it's being created on purpose. So when you're being relentless with your leaders, with how you preach, with how you're raising up new volunteers. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of our kids pastors, and she said this. She said, you know, I'm really having fun with my team, and I feel like we're doing a good job. And, you know, I've really started to implement some really great things with my team. And she used I about four or five times in the conversation. And I stopped her. I said, no, it's not your team. It's our team. And so one of the cultural values that we have, you know, within here at Grace is nobody owns anyone or anything. This is a team effort. So it's not your team. It's our team. Don't use the word my, use the word we. And so when you start to correct even the language that people use, and it doesn't have to be in like a confrontational way, but what that does is it both consciously and subconsciously reaffirms the culture that you're trying to create. From people who have bad cultures or big, strong, wrong cultures, which are different. A bad culture is something that opposes the culture of your church. A wrong culture may be great heart, but it's not the direction that we're moving. So if you have a bad culture or a wrong culture, it might take a little bit of retraining. And so I just want to encourage you, be relentless. Be okay to be the person that comes in and corrects language, corrects behavior, reinforces, reaffirms, rewards, corrects behavior, because eventually the culture will start to take, but it's gonna require some retraining on your part. And that's gonna require some relentlessness, you know, where you're at the forefront of making sure that people they know it and they understand it, but they also carry it out and they're living it. There have been moments and times where I've had to take some leaders aside and go, I know that's how we used to do it. And for a time that was okay and that worked, but that's not where we're headed anymore. That's not what we're doing. And so what I need you to do is I need you to do it like this. Right now we're working some of this with our small groups. The culture in the past was the bigger my small group, the better. Well, small groups were designed to be exactly that, small groups. So if you have 40 students in your small group, you know, great job on you for building a youth group, but that's not what we're building. I need groups of 10 to 15, and if they get bigger, we're going to multiply. That's the new culture. That's what we're building, because we can't effectively disciple 40 students with two leaders. I need two leaders with 10 to 15 students. What we're building is relationships. What you're building is a party. And I'm all for a party. Nobody loves a party more than I do. The party is for Wednesday. The party is for Sundays. Small groups are supposed to be this. So when you're being relentless, it's not about confrontation in the sense of, you know, you're trying to tear people down or strong arm people. You're having to retrain. You're having to shift people's minds and hearts towards the vision, the heart of the house and the culture that you're wanting to create. So if you're somebody that isn't, you know, relentless, you're maybe more of a, I don't know, like a seven on the Enneagram as opposed to a one, a three, or an eight, right? If you're not a high achiever, if you're somebody that's geared more towards, let's all just kind of get around a campfire and figure out where we're going, and like, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you're going to find that you're going to build a culture that's also going to look like that. And so you got to be relentless with it. And have some people that are also on your team that are going to be with you towards that relentless pursuit of the culture that you're wanting to create. So just some things that I could share with you as far as the culture here within our youth groups, and things that we really set our hands to when it comes to building a specific culture. We're high on student involvement. Training them up, teaching them, involving them, putting the ministry in their hands. I've got students everywhere from volunteering, you know, high-fiving and greeting on the door in, all the way up to students that preach, you know, regularly four times a year for us. And so when it comes to building a culture, we're building people up, right? Back to leading people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't want to just teach them how to take notes in a seat. I want to teach them how to how to serve in the church. I want to teach them how to lead a team and in the pulpit. Like, we're building leaders here, okay? And so if I want to build a leader, I got to activate a person. Who is it? Greg Rochelle. Craig Rochelle says, if you want to build workers, delegate tasks. If you want to build leaders, delegate responsibility. And so we'll put responsibility in the hands of teenagers all the time with a whole lot of oversight, but we still give them opportunity. So student involvement, building those students in leadership and developing them and their giftings is a high level of cultural focus here. I mentioned this earlier, but a culture of worship, prayer and worship, these two things are like building blocks, foundational for us. In fact, right now we're activating an increased layer of what it means not just to pray for students, but what does it look like for students to pray for themselves and one another. So this last week, I taught on the Lord's Prayer, just broke down, you know, what Jesus was teaching us in that. And then after I was done, I said, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time praying for one another. So I want everybody to get in a group of three or four. And we gave everybody a card, said, I want you to write down the names of everybody in that group, what you're praying for. And so what we're going to do for the next 10 minutes is everybody's going to go around and we're going to pray for everybody here. And then for the next week, you're going to take that card and every day you're going to pray over those people. And so what I'm doing is not just conceptualizing this idea. I'm being strategic and I'm being specific and I'm giving people the opportunity to exercise. So prayer and worship is a culture that I want to create. I got to give handles to that, right? We got to mobilize people for that. So the same for you. So prayer and worship. Parent involvement and resource. This is a big part of our culture as well. There for a while, youth ministry was just about the student for us. And we had to step back and go, we're not in student ministry, we're in family ministry. So we need to be doing things for parents. And so now what we do is we offer a once a quarter parent resource night. Every month we're sending out some resource via email, some video content or book that we're recommending. And so we've had to kind of rewrite some things there. And so I could go down the list. You know, outreach is a big part of our culture here, lending a hand to the city as well as creating events where students can come in and reach the unreached. But all of this was birthed from knowing what the heart of the house was and then figuring out what the expression through the youth ministry needed to be. And all along the way, I'd come back to our exec pastor and our senior pastor and I go, this, does this align? Does this work? Are you on board with this? And I don't know if this was a blessing or a curse, but I actually had our senior pastor and our exec pastor's kids. So four kids, they were in our youth ministry. So you better believe eyes were on what we were doing. For the last 5 years I've been here, eyes on everything. So when I say that it garners favor from your senior pastor to adopt the heart of the house and find your expression and make that your culture, I'm telling you the truth, because not only were we employed here to keep charge over the youth department, but now we're building in their kids the vision and the heart of the church that they lead. So I guess let that be a help to you. If you're not sure what the vision or the heart is from your senior leader, take them out to lunch, have coffee with them. Some senior leaders are better at articulating that than others. Some of your senior leaders may come back and go, I don't know, do whatever you want. Then you as the youth pastor may need to dig a little bit and go, okay, here are the things that we value as a church. Here's the things that we focus on. I'm going to start to breed that into our youth ministry and I'm going to go after that. You know, not everybody has a pretty one-liner or a bunch of, you know, practical strategic steps from the church, you know, handed to you. Some churches do. But if you don't, if that's not there or present, have a conversation with your senior pastor, your senior leader. If they can't give language to it, you put language to it and then find the expression within your youth ministry. But my biggest challenge to you when creating culture, don't do something that you want to do. Do something that God's establishing, and then find the expression of that in y'all's youth ministries. I promise your youth ministry will be stronger for it, and your church will be stronger as a result of it.
I hope you enjoyed listening in on our coaching call. Again, that's just a portion of what we do during our coaching calls. We have guest speakers where you get to interact in real time, ask real questions about your ministry context. We get to interact as a group, help each other in our ministries, and also break up into groups where you get to have personal connection with a smaller group where you get to encouragement and do life together. I want to encourage you to take a look at it. Go to renewedleadership.org/network to get more information and to join a group. Well, we're going to be bringing you more episodes, so take a look wherever you're subscribed for the podcast. I can't wait to bring you another episode here soon.